Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
I was reading 2 Kings 18 and 19, and came across the story about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah, you guys, there's so much to this story. There's so much I wanted to tell you. And as I'm trying to figure out which way to go with this, Steve sends me this little sermon guide.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Which basically said, keep it short. No, it didn't. It didn't. But it was kind of a, you know, it was a guide to go by if you want. I didn't strictly buy it, but I really did cut out a bunch of stuff because it really is interesting. I want to encourage you guys to go home and read 2 Kings 18 and 19. There's so much to get out of that. So I'm just going to tell you some of it, read a little bit of scripture, and then we're going to move into the main part of it. Hezekiah was 25 when he began his reign, so he was a young man. He reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. The Bible says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, so he followed after the things of God. He was doing the right things and everything, but Assyria came a-calling. They decided they wanted his land, so they came to take it. And they were known for taking whatever they wanted, basically. They were pretty ruthless. So they had a reputation of defeating their enemies, and they had come against Hezekiah. So, you know, Hezekiah was in a spot. But there are sometimes when we get in a spot, right? May not be as bad as this. Sometimes it's really not that bad. Sometimes it is. But I have a couple of pictures. Y'all can see them. This guy looks like he might be in a spot. You think?
Just a little.
Maybe a little. Yeah, at first I was trying to see. There really are the tops of trees here, so he probably is pretty high up. Now, my first thought was, well, what'd you get up there for? Anyway. And then this next one. Okay, if you can't, yeah. This is a serious situation, right? This is one where you cannot, there's no way to get out of this on your own, right? You need God for this? Yeah? Okay. Next. Okay. This little one got himself in a spot. It's not life-threatening unless his mom just throws clothes on top of him and is not paying attention, but yeah, he's in a little spot there. Can't get himself out. Now, this person looks like they're in a spot, but this looks, yep, this Brian, actually, that's Brian, yep, and it looks like he's at the top of a building, and he's fighting fire on the other side of the building, but that's not really what it is. It looks really, wow. And he goes, it was a dumpster. But it looks like he's really in a spot. But, you know, sometimes I think we think we're really in a spot. Oh, was that it? Oh, okay. That was it. I thought I had an extra one. Okay, but Hezekiah was really in a spot. They had did a siege against the city. They were coming to take it. So we're going to read right now 2 Kings 19, 1 through 2. Said, when Hezekiah heard this, and what he has heard is the enemy has come, and they have said, we're going to take your city. We're going to, you know, destroy everything, basically. But if you come out and surrender, we'll be kind to you. And they said it in the hearing of the people. Rebel against Hezekiah, because Hezekiah said that God can take care of this. But they were hoping that they could scare the people. And they, you know, they said, we've defeated this country, we've defeated that country, and gave them a list of all of their great defeats to scare them. So they had sent this message to the nobles there, and they went to Hezekiah and gave him this message. And this is says, when Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes, sackcloth, and went into the temple of the Lord. He sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. We're going to jump down to verse 19. It says, Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, between the cherubims of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words of Sennacherib has sent. That's the word Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste to these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and have destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. But you alone. So the first thing that Isaiah did was he humbled himself. You said it earlier, yep. He humbled himself. He is a king. He's used to wearing nice clothes. He puts on sackcloth. He totally humbles himself before the Lord. Now, humility doesn't receive anything from God. We as Americans are not really a very humble people. We're really prideful. We're a prideful people. Like the very scripture you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and so on. But the first step is humble yourselves. I saw this in action last week at work. We had got raises for the first time in like 3 years. So I'm thinking everybody's going to be happy, right? Because we're getting more money. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for anybody. So I'm all happy. I'm handing out letters, bringing people in my office saying, here's your merit increase. And, and I'm excited. And about halfway through it, I was like, here's your merit increase. Because nobody was happy. Like, oh, we thought we'd get more. Oh, well, how did they come by this number? Well, it's based off your evaluation. The better you do on your evaluation, the more money you get, But I really thought they'd be happy they got something. But everybody, not everybody, the majority, were not happy. There were some who were like, oh, I'm just thankful I got something. Thank you so much. There were people like that. And I really analyzed it all week. I thought, good grief, all these ungrateful people, And I thought, what? We're prideful. We think we deserve more than we get, And that's part of the problem. So I really wished all of those folks could have humbled themselves before they walked in my office and I handed them that paper. I think it would have gone better. But anyway, we just need to be humble as Christians. And pastors told me this one time. He said, humility is not thinking I'm just a worm. I'm just crud. It's just having a proper estimation of yourself, not thinking you're so wonderful, but also thinking, having a realistic view, really. So, and knowing that, really, I can't do anything without God. Because if we think we can do something without God, we're in trouble. Because we can't. So, point two is get prayer support. Now, if you don't have humility, you're not going to ask anybody to pray for you because you're going to think you can handle it yourself. We've got to be able to go to people and get prayer support and get people to help us so that we can get that prayer covering we need, because there are times when we don't know what to pray. There are times I have gone to Tasha or some of you and said, this is going on. I don't know what to pray. And you'll grab my hand, simplest but most beautiful prayer that I couldn't, for whatever reason, pray for myself. But we need that, and we need to be able to go and get that prayer support. Pride says, I don't need help. But humility says, I do. We need to know that pride is not your friend. It will keep you from all kinds of blessings from the Lord. Pride is not your friend. Point three, lay it all out there. Just lay it out there. Don't partially tell it. Tell the whole story. Tell God the whole story. He knows it anyway. You know, sometimes, there's this movement, and I know it's important to watch our words. I know that. But it's gone so far that I've heard people say, oh, you can never admit you're sick. Well, if you're sick and you don't admit you're sick, you're not asking for somebody to pray for you, and you're lying, right? You're lying. So, you know, there's a difference between saying, I'm sick and I'm going to die, and saying, I'm sick, but praise God, He's the healer, right? There's a difference. So, you know, lay the whole truth out there. Yesterday, Brian went golfing with Steve. I asked his permission to tell this story before y'all think I'm being mean to my husband. I asked his permission. So I'm talking to him on the way home from work, and I said, well, how'd your golf game go? He said, well, the first few holes we just didn't play very well. But, man, at the end we were just outstroking them. It was just great. And I said, so you won? And he goes, yeah, we just did so good. We were outstroking them so good. And he goes, we just couldn't quite pull it out. And I said, so you didn't win. Really good. I said, who had the best score? He said, well, Steve, by a couple of shots. And I said, so you didn't win. And he said, well, if you want to look at it like that. So he told me the story, stressing the probably me assuming that maybe he won, although I was really surprised because he keeps telling me how great Steve is. but he wasn't real ready to go ahead going about how good he played, you know.
He should have left it at that.
No, I was But we've got to just lay it all out there for the Lord, right? Just lay it out there because we need to be honest with Him. He knows the truth anyway. But we need to lay it out there. Hezekiah showed God what the enemy was doing. He laid it out before the Lord. And I just think there's so much beauty in that, just to lay it out before the Lord. He told the truth about the situation. He said, look, it is true that these guys have come and they have defeated all these other countries. All that is true. All that they are telling me is true. But these other countries, they didn't have you. Right? They didn't have you. They just had stone and God's made of stone and stuff and, you know, wood. Who cares about that? You know, they didn't have you. So he knew the whole story and he just laid it out before the Lord. Point four is make your request. Just pray. Pray to the Lord. Tell God what you need. People can't always help you. They don't always have the answer to your situation. Last night, you all know what cicadas are, right?
Yeah.
One flew in my house last night. Yeah. They're big, and they're fast. They make a lot of noise. They're all over the place. So Brian goes, oh, it got in. And I was like, what got in? Because he had just come in from outside. And he goes, that bug. And it's just going, I can hear it making its noise. And so I jump up and I'm like, kill it, kill it, kill it. And he couldn't. He could not meet my request. Right? Because it was too fast. He couldn't catch it. Yeah. Thank God for cats. That's all I got to say. They caught it. It is now gone. But, yeah. But I want to tell you a little bit about cicadas, okay? They are from the superfamily, the Cicadoidea of insects, considered true bugs. You can understand why I thought my life was threatened, because they are huge, and they are super bugs. They're big. They're big. But Brian couldn't help me get rid of the bug. Now, luckily, the cats could. But, you know, I didn't ask the right person. Did I even pray? God, help the cats get the bug or whatever. I was just too busy running. So I ran in the bedroom and shut the door and told Brian, don't come in this room until that bug's dead. Because it might come in here and get me. So once it was dead. He came on to bed. But prayers don't have to be long to be effective. If you notice, Hezekiah's prayer was just a few verses long. It was not long. Sometimes we think the longer we pray will wear God down or something, you know. That doesn't work. I don't think we pray enough, though. I don't think we pray enough because, and we talked about this in Bible study one week, and that is, and Tasha brought this out, and I thought it was very good. She said, sometimes we think about a situation so much that we think we've prayed about it. And really, so we've got to be careful that we don't just think, and I catch myself doing that now, and since you brought it out. I thought, man, what things did I really never pray about that I thought I prayed about just because I was thinking about it? So we really need to make sure we open our mouth and we verbalize to the Lord what we need. It doesn't have to be long and drawn out, but he needs to hear from us. He needs to know that we are coming to him with our problems and we're not just thinking about, you know, God fixing it. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It doesn't say the prayer that lasts 30 minutes is powerful and effective, but the prayer of a righteous person. So we need to be in right standing with the Lord so that there's nothing blocking our prayers. So in conclusion, when you're in a tough situation, you humble yourself, you get prayer support, you lay it all out there, and you make your request, because God hears you. God hears you. If you jump down some verses, God sends, I've heard your prayer. That's why I couldn't get all this story in there. You guys really need to go home and read 2 Kings 18 and 19. There's so much in there. But just really, do the best for you, right? He doesn't want you to feel defeated and feel like you're nothing. That's the enemy talking.
Right.
That's all for free. That's not even in my notes. That's the enemy talking. If he's got you so beat down that he thinks he's telling you God didn't hear you and you believe it, you're listening to the wrong voice.
Right.
So just remember, humble yourself, get prayer support, ask your friends to pray, lay it all out there and make your request. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you care for us, that you talk to us. Thank you that you are on our side. Thank you so much that there's nothing too hard for you. No matter what we face, no matter what we come up against, our God is bigger than it is. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your love and your mercy. I thank you for these sweet people here today, Father, this blessing that they are to me and to this church, blessing we are to each other. I'm just so thankful, Lord, that you have put people in our lives that will help pray for us as well and love on us. And I just thank you for that. Lord, we just ask that you just bless each and every one. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.